Mr. John Knight in Miami on 9-2.
Right. Take this down.
Yes, sir.
John?
Good morning.
How you doing, Jack?
Well, very well.
We got a lot of snow up here.
Well, that's what I hear. I saw Stuart Symington yesterday.
Was he there? Gosh, I wish I was there. How's your weather?
Well, it's been very spotty, but today it's sunny and a little on the coolie side, but we're very fortunate, I think.
Well, we got where we bound in. I've got to people that coming in today can't get in. The snow's inches deep on the ground. Can't get in at all. I just wanted to say hello to you and thank you for what you've done to help me in these last few days that have been so difficult for me, and get any suggestions you may have, and ask you to come in the first time you're up this way.
Well, I'd love to do that.
You give me a ring when you come in a day or two ahead of time, and let's have a quiet luncheon together, and then you be putting down your little black books and things that I ought to know.
Well, you're very...
That I don't get from the inside.
Well, I'd be delighted to do that. I don't get to Washington too frequently because I haven't had to testify lately.
Had a good visit with Houston Hart the other day, and we talked about you.
Well, he's a wonderful man.
He lost his best man, Jack.
I saw Millard Cope died.
Yeah,
I also read the piece that Houston wrote about you, which I thought was very good.
It was, I thought, exceptionally partial to me, and I appreciated it a lot.
Well, everybody seems to be pretty well pleased with the way things are going. I get good reactions.
If we can just keep the politics out of both sides for 4 or 5 months until we get some of the things that need to be done, and let them get them decided on the merits, we can get partisan the latter part of the year and go on and settle the election. I don't know. I think we're going to get a reasonably good tax bill. I talked to Senator Williams and Senator Byrd after I got the budget down, and a lot of them don't quite understand how you could get it down, but what really happened, Jack, is Kennedy had been adding $5 billion a year to it. This year, we just didn't add the $5
billion. Well, of course, what concerns some of them when you get into the so-called pockets of poverty, how this is to be financed.
There is now an uncoordinated, hit-and-miss operation divided between 3 or 4 departments that ought to be pulled together. So that when you go into these areas that unusually high in unemployment and unusually poor in resources, that you can coordinate them and pull them together. And in new money, we only asked $300 million, which is not 1/3 of 1% of the whole budget for it. And what we're going to try to do is put it with our manpower retraining and with our area redevelopment that's going on now, and try to coordinate the existing programs with this one, and try to get people off of the public payroll and on to where they're equipped to do something for themselves. Lady Bird went out to with Ms. Scranton in Pennsylvania on Saturday, and they're teaching folks there auto mechanics, and they're miners that haven't worked in 3 years, and you've been supporting them.
Well, I know that country very well, and I know an uncle who lived there, and I know it's been a bad situation. We had to even reduce the assessment to the newspapers one time for the Associated Press.
What they conclude, those that haven't seen the details of the budget, they conclude that everybody thought it would be 103 or 4 because Kennedy had been adding $5 billion to it. We decided that we had the nuclear weapons running out of our ears, that we had archaic bases that were of no value to us, that we could save a good deal of money in our defense program because Kennedy had added $4.5 billion to it for the last 2 years. And if you step up your budget there in Miami for 2 years and spend $4.5 billion more on it in 62 and 63, 65 comes along, you ought to be able to at least withhold spending of $4.5 billion if you have adequacy. And they concluded that we did have. We're spending about $10 billion more on defense than Eisenhower spent. And that if you do it 2 or 3 years, it finally shows up in the weapons. And so instead of adding to, we could keep it about the same. We're not bragging about any great fiscal experts we are, but Kennedy spent 98.4, and we, if we get every program we ask for and every one that's budgeted, we'll have 97.9. Now, we think that 2 or 3 that are budgeted are going to have some trouble getting out of the Rules Committee, like youth employment and things like that. And we hope that they passed, but we had to budget for them. But we have budgeted for everything that we've requested, whether it's going to pass or not. And if everything we request will be 97.9, well, that's 500 million difference. That's half of 1%.
In other words, you get a little better management into the election.
We have tried to pull them together, and I have each cabinet officer competing with the other one on reduction. I've got 600 jobs out of Treasury this morning out of 90,000. That's not many. But I got a note on my desk from Douglas Dillon that he's reviewed all of them, and he can't cut customs much because of the New York World's Fair, and they got to add a bunch there for things coming in, but the World's Fair is reimbursing us for them. But nevertheless, he's cutting his employees by 600, and that is a damn good sign. Agriculture's cutting theirs by 6,000. Now, we're not going to be as efficient in a good many services as a lot of people would like to be, but I never saw a bureaucrat in life that didn't want all the people he could get.
That's right.
And we're going to have 5,000 less in the post office department. But the truth of the business is, McNamara made a pretty tight budget and set a good example of cutting $1 billion, and the other folks had to come in and cut $1.2 billion themselves. And that's what we've done.
Sometime... I guess you met him, or he met you at the business council, but a man for whom, an industrialist for whom I have a very high regard, is E.J. Thomas, the
yes.
chairman of the board of Goodyear.
Yes, I know him.
He was quite favorably impressed with your talk and your way you addressed these men. He's a wonderful man to keep in mind because he does not have a closed mind.
Well, he's a good man, I think, and the council has been of considerable help. The first week when everything was breaking and exploding, they came in and counseled with me, and I got them back before the State of the Union and kind of reviewed what had happened. And we have a minimum of adventure and new programs in here. We are going to try to pull together and add $300 million for poverty and $250 million for Appalachia, which is $550 million. But we're not adding the $4.5 billion that's been added each year. We're adding $550 million, and that's a hell of a lot of difference. And we've made that much reduction in what Atomic Energy requested. I thought that everyone, Bob Anderson told me if I could get it under $100 billion, that it would be the best thing that could happen to the country and the confidence of the business people. And I think that's reflect President Eisenhower said, if you get it under there, I may have to vote for you myself.
Well, I was talking to Thomas. I said, well, how did President press you? He said, well, he looked good to me. And I said, well, you're a Republican. He said, well, I'm a Republican, but my philosophy is to take the best men where you can find them. So,
well,
this was a pretty fair appraisal.
Well,
people are worried about the Panama thing, of course.
Well, we all are.
They hope that we'll be firm.
We are. We're going to be.
The thing that concerns a good many people is this gold outflow.
We've got the best month on that we've ever had. December is the best quarter, but we haven't got it whipped at all, and we've... We're helping some by the reduction of our bases, like in Spain, and we're helping some by reduction of some of our foreign aid. I'm terribly disturbed about the Latin American thing, and have been ever since I came in. I haven't been in but 50 days, but the first thing I did is go over the department and make them look at everybody they had, and we all concluded that the ablest and probably the wisest and toughest guy we had was Mann. So we had to move him from Mexico City and get him up here, and he's been in about a week or 10 days. But they had scheduled to go down there, an ex-politician who had been defeated for Congress and who was hadn't done very good over on the aid program, foreign aid. They wanted to get rid of him over there. So I just held up on it and decided we better get some business people that knew Latin America, and man is now was getting ready to go over the whole thing and put a bunch of new minds and new ideas and new people in there and try to pull business in with us. And you can take all the gold at Fort Knox and never do any good in Latin America unless they have some confidence, businessmen have some confidence that they're not going to get confiscated.
Yes, if you have a climate that's conducive to investment, it'll be made.
Now, that's what I sat down with Bob Anderson, a group of people that are pretty familiar with the whole area, and we came up pretty generally with Tom Mann, and that's what he's going to do. But it's just as this stuff is pretty rampant all over the place, and we've got a big job cut out for us.
Well, the feeling of the people I've talked to about you is very good, and we hope that'll continue.
Thank you, Jack.
Pleasure.
Good to hear you.